Hello, and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today, episode 55, Tuesday Tales number 9, Undercover Duke. I'm going to talk about Griswold again today, and in the early days of the Stuarts reclaiming the kingdom, Griswold, a.k.a. the Wolf, was busy helping consolidate control of the kingdom. His cousin the king, Tamias I, ordered Griswold undercover, and Griswold, as a half-elf, with not quite so pointed ears, he was short for a hillsman, but he was fluent in the language and was able to disguise himself by dyeing his hair and carrying mundane weapons and armor and hiding his holy symbol and spellbooks and components. He also took along his familiar, the rabbit Harvey, I mentioned a few episodes back, and he cast invisibility on Harvey so Harvey could watch his back. Griswold infiltrated a cell of rebels, and the sign of loyalty was a tattoo of a black arrow on the upper arm, and the reason for the black arrow is the Stuarts' return to power was in part due to their massive archers, the Red Arrow, who had red fletchings on their arrows. So Griswold managed to talk his way in and get in on the rebels. Now, unlike later versions of D&D, there was no skill roll to determine whether or not I succeeded. I had to roleplay it out and convince the dungeon master, my brother, that I was doing a good job at getting my way in. Now, he may have rolled a reaction roll or something like that with some modifiers to it, but it was all in my performance. And so Griswold managed to talk his way in. He got the tattoo, and only the king knew what Griswold was up to. He was on his own. So Griswold would rely on his magical capabilities with invisibility and levitate and fly to return to the castle to report to the king unobserved. And he also had boots of elven kind, so he could be very quiet. Some of his activities, I'm sure, caused some of the servants to maybe think the castle was haunted. So Griswold ingratiated himself to the group, and as a mid-level fighter, he could prove his worth in a fight. Now, they were all in the organization phase, and so they never really ran up against any Stuart troops to fight. They were just occupying some old forts where they were concentrating their forces, trying to prepare for whatever they could manage to pull together. He managed to rise to some level of command rank. I don't remember the details, but he was able to bluff himself in and out of rebel encampments, and he got to the point where he knew the extent of the total number of forts. There was like 4 or 5, and he put in place plans to take them out one by one and leave no survivors so the others couldn't flee and or prepare a strong defense. And as I recall, I believe there were 5 forts, and each had about 100 men, and Griswold was to be feared since he could cast Fireball, and he could get a large group if he could get them in one place. But his reputation was that he was far more powerful than he really was, but he had just enough oomph to kind of back it up in the eyes of the peasants. And I don't recall the specifics of how we ended up dealing with all of the individual forts, but one particular story stands out. So Griswold dyed his hair black, and I forgot the best part. He wore an eye patch with a pinhole in it so he could still have binocular vision, and wearing different style of clothes and so forth, he didn't look like Griswold. And so Griswold managed to get captured by forces loyal to the king, and he couldn't convince him that he really was Lord Griswold Stuart, Duke of the Realm, known as the Wolf. Because he had the tattoo of the Black Arrow, he obviously was a member of the rebellion. Since only the king knew what Griswold was up to, he had to convince them who he was before they put him to death. Well, they got tired of listening to what my efforts at convincing them were, and I guess they gagged me because I was already tied up to this chair because I wasn't going to fight them because we needed all the men we could get. But by this point, I couldn't get my way out. Thankfully, Harvey was there. And by the mental link between a magic user and his familiar, Harvey hopped up on the table and picked up the quill pen and attempted to scrawl an arrow pointing at Griswold to say, look, there's something going on here. That was unusual enough that the leader's like, well, maybe there's something to this. And the leader ordered them to scrub the black dye out of Griswold's hair. And when his hair changed to the normal coloration, that finally convinced the leader of the king's men. So Griswold then took charge, told him to stay out of sight and to back him up if he needed help. And he managed to re-dye his hair, but it was a hurried thing because he had a time limit or something to get back so he wouldn't get discovered. And so he went to the fort and he ordered all the men to assemble in close formation, got them off the walls and everything. And as Griswold stood before them, trying to get to the point where he could throw a fireball, one of the officers noticed a dripping of the dye running down his temple. And that was it. Griswold was discovered. So it was initiative. Griswold won initiative. And the way we determined it, it was with enough time to cast fireball. And that took care of most of them. And those that weren't willing to surrender to a single person standing before them soon surrendered to the troops that rushed in because the flash of the fireball was the signal to come assist Griswold. So that was a tense moment because I had like 100 guys that would have been on top of me, and while a bunch of them were zero level, it would have been a close thing to fight long enough to until the troopers could come help him. And the other forts were eventually taken in a similar manner. Griswold would usually just show up as himself, prominently displaying the shield with a wolf device to the survivors after he fireballed the fort and the troops in hiding would rush in and corral the stragglers. Now, usually an undercover job is in the purview of thieves, and in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, assassins, and assassins have a special spying table in the Dungeon Master's Guide. Now, a multi-class character that can use invisibility and has Boots of Elvenkind can do quite a bit without having to have the skills of thieves or assassins. I had a lot of fun doing those things, sneaking around, and that mode of play is quite fun. So what cool moments have the characters you played managed to get themselves into? Or as a game master, what have your players done in an undercover manner to deal with a problem or gather information? Because it's not all about a heist. Sometimes you just need to be sneaky. I'd really like to hear some of your stories about these things. So please call in and let me know. Thanks for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo. The same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!